Country Pop FM.
Hey, it is the Bob Almanac and the return. I assume everything went swimmingly and smooth and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, you know, we did our best. And I know that's all you asked me to do. And it was great to have Allie and Terry. And they do wonderful things. So it's all good.
And just to reassure you and to give you a little peace of mind, you can count on the fact that if I'm not here, I'm somewhere else, I won't be listening. So there's no going back and listening and grading and judging critiquing and none of that.
Thank you for that.
I got other things to do. Monday, November 13th, 317th day of the year. This date in 1789, Benjamin Franklin. This is the date that he wrote a letter to a friend in which he said, this is where this comes from, this quote. He said, quote, "In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. Also certain that the state of Minnesota will collect more taxes than it needs and, of course, just spend it."
Right.
I'm pretty sure that was
part of it.
If the letter went on, I think Benjamin Franklin's dog may have eaten that part of the letter. So that never made it, but I have good information.
Yeah.
How about in 52?
Green is nail colors for today's new fashion. Leave press on nails in 18 deep, rich, dimensional colors. Cotton candy.
Seven.
Open mist.
Mysterious.
Leave press on nails.
Mysterious. Cotton candy. Colored.
It's a nice color.
Lee press on nails. It wasn't the Lee press on nails, but the first time ever, false fingernails were sold.
Sure.
I don't know what they used back then. I would say the 50s glue might have been a problem.
Right.
Maybe the advances in glue hadn't got to the point where they are now. Because they're very popular. Why even deal with your real nails when you can just Lee press on nails?
I should get some of them.
Which is kind of cheating. Is it not cheating?
Why?
I mean, shouldn't I have a Lee press on goatee? Why wouldn't that work?
Well, it would.
I guess you go to the costume department there at the Guthrie. And they probably can get you any kind of a facial hair that you'd like. But false fingernails, first sold this
day. They don't
state.
Scratch as well, though.
1952. I mean,
that's the one downside to those. They
the
look
false
nice.
Fingernails?
Yeah, they just don't. You know, if you got a scratch.
Are you afraid they might pop off?
Can you help scratch that a little bit? And it doesn't. It's just, yeah.
You're hanging around with people that have false fingernails, and you're asking them to scratch your back.
Yeah.
Why don't you just bring one of those wooden back scratchers that you can buy at the novelty store?
I've got one of them, too.
All right, so that was 52. How about 68?
Nothing is real. The Beatles. Yellow Submarine.
Sounds like a sitar or dirigidoo. What is that thing called? Dirigidoo, dirigidoo. I don't know how to say that. Didgeridoo. Didgeridoo.
Artwork, really photographer.
So, I know. It was very impressive that I figured that out. Didgeridoo. Yellow Submarine debuted on this date. Premiered in the U.S. It had already been out in theaters in England, but it was the Beatles in cartoon style and cartoon fashion. And they were fantastic. Did they ever defeat the Blue Meanies?
At some point, they went out.
I don't know if I've seen that movie to its entirety, to be honest. But, of course, a great soundtrack with the Beatles and the whole thing.
It's a didgeridoo-da-day, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, thank you, Roberta Flack. No. Who was it? Who sang Happiest Girl in the...
Donna Fargo.
Yeah,
we had her birthday last Friday. That's what made me think of it.
1970 in the news.
Our cameras stopped rolling immediately after the blast. The humor of the entire situation suddenly gave way to a run for survival as huge chunks of whale blubber fell everywhere. Pieces of meat passed high over our heads while others were falling at our feet. The dunes were rapidly evacuated as spectators escaped both the falling debris and the overwhelming smell. A parked car over a quarter of a mile from the blast site was the target of one large chunk. The passenger compartment literally smashed. Fortunately, no human was hit as badly as the car. However, everyone on the scene was covered with small particles of dead whale. As for the success of the effort, Well, the seagulls who were supposed to clean things up were nowhere in sight, either scared away by the explosion or kept away by the smell. That didn't really matter. The remaining chunks were of such a size that no respectable seagull would attempt to tackle anyway.
No respectable seagulls,
sure.
But the disrespectable seagulls, they were all over it. It was raining whale blubber on this date in Oregon, 1970. They had a whale that washed ashore, and apparently when a whale washes ashore, it's not... Hey, is there a marine biologist here? No, they don't bring in the marine biologist. They bring in the Department of Transportation to deal with a whale that washes ashore. I wonder if that's been reassigned now in modern times, if and when that happens. Not the Department of Transportation. They had no other way to get rid of it, so they just blew it up. They brought in some dynamite. They brought the dynamite in and placed it in strategic spots. The whale was a 45-footer. It was 8 tons.
I'd never heard this.
And they blew it up, and then the whale blubber. As you could hear, you told him, he told us how far it went.
Right.
Was it a quarter of a mile? I can't remember what he said. It was something like that. And
the smell did not sound...
Not even the seagulls wanted anything to do with it. Any respectable seagulls.
Right on.
So that was this date, 1970. How about 74 here this date?
At about 7 p.m., Karen left Crescent to make the 30-mile drive to meet a reporter from the New York Times. About a half an hour later, her Honda was discovered less than 10 miles from Crescent, crumpled into the concrete wall of an underground ditch.
We are talking about Karen Silkwood. Neil.
Yes, oh, it was quite a story.
The nuclear power plant employee and political activist. She died on this date at the age of 28 in that car accident on her way to meet, as you heard, with a reporter. And they were going to discuss evidence that she had uncovered about faulty fuel rods at the nuclear plant that she worked at. And, of course, the story was the basis for the 83 film Silkwood, Neil.
They did not want that information to get out.
Apparently
somebody
not.
Didn't.
It sounds like foul play.
It does.
Foul play was suspected. I have to look back in. Did they ever pin it on anybody? Ever decide that there was false play? Were they able to find the source of that foul play? The world may never know. And who played Silkwood in the movie? Who was it? You remember? Was it... Jessica? No, I think it was Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. That's the one that comes to mind.
Yeah, Meryl Streep.
Oh, that Meryl Streep. She's such a phony baloney.
Meryl Streep. Phony baloney. According to Seinfeld. 1981 this date.
20th Century Fox would like to introduce you to Pee-wee and his pals.
Speaking of Artie Mother.
Tommy, Mickey, Tim.
I'm going tonight, right?
I don't know.
And the biggest man on campus.
Why do they call you Meat? Because you're so big?
When they're not in class... They're into everything.
Porky's debuted on this date, and they call him Meat because he came from a long line of butchers, Neil.
Right.
His family had a long-running family butcher and butchery there and a meat locker plant in, what was the name of the town in Porky's? I can't remember, but it was Porky's. And if you were a young man in the early 80s, that was...
That was a
coming-of-age movie. You wanted to see that. You probably had to sneak it. Maybe see it at a friend's house when their parents were gone, which was my case.
Right.
And then we played Intellivision after because they had Intellivision.
Ooh.
We had Atari. We did not yet have Intellivision at my house, but as soon as I played Intellivision at my friend's house after watching Porky's, I said, you know what? We need to get Intellivision, too. So I think somehow, some way, we got it. We sold a steer or something and went and bought in television. So Porky's debuted on this date in 81. How about 82?
The memorial, privately built, has the names of the war's dead and missing. 57,939 names, engraved in black granite on 70 separate panels. In the order they died, from the first two American advisors in July of 1959 to the last casualties in the Mayaguez incident 14 years later.
1982, and of course, it's a must-visit if you go to Washington, D.C. We're talking about the Vietnam War Memorial. It opened officially this date in 82. More than just a name on the wall,
yeah,
Neil.
For sure.
As the Statlers told us. Did you find anything out about the Silkwood case?
They said, the police said she fell asleep at the wheel.
It's still murky.
But
is it a closed case? Is it closed?
No. The autopsy revealed she had high levels of radiation, but she was known to have left for the meeting with an envelope of documents that she had put together.
And they weren't in the car.
And strangely, that was never found at the scene, and there was marks on her bumper that showed she was most likely forced off the road.
Ugh.
So something bad happened there, Jim.
Yeah. That was 74 as we talk back. We got a flashback there. 1985, something good happened.
Hulkamania's gonna run wild!
And no one can stop this five-man tag team!
He's too short for you!
All right, gentlemen, it's Costello.
He didn't save my life, I saved his life!
Rough, tough, non-stop action!
End of the line, Smith!
With the 18th and Hulk Hogan!
Oh, I love it!
Similarly, Tuesday...
Hulkamania was on with the A-Team. It was his good buddy, Mr. T. You know, they just wrestled in WrestleMania earlier in the year in 85. So Hogan says, hey, T, you come to my world, and then I'll go to your world. Well. And, you know, they also had Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and the British Bulldogs that also were a part of that episode back on this date. And you better know I was watching it.
You are for sure.
The A-Team, Hulk Hogan, 1985-86.
A charge has been made that the United States has shipped weapons to Iran as ransom payment for the release of American hostages in Lebanon. That the United States undercut its allies and secretly violated American policy against trafficking with terrorists. Those charges are utterly false. The United States has not made concessions to those who hold our people captive in Lebanon.
So President Ronald Reagan addressed the nation on this date in 1986. He did confess to selling weapons to Iran, but denied the fact that it had anything to do with any kind of a, you know, hostage. Arms for hostages, the Iran-Contra affair.
Yep.
Whole thing from 1986. Things were heating up there in the old Beltway.
A major news story for sure.
Yeah, well, Oliver North became a household name. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have known him or Fawn Hall or any of those others.
Do I start?
You start.
They say we're young and we don't know. We won't find out till you grow.
I don't know if all that's true. You got me and baby, I got you.
It was a magical moment this date on Letterman.
Baby.
David Letterman, late night with David Letterman, got a big coup. He was able to get Sonny and Cher back together. And sing I Got You, Babe. It was their last performance ever together.
Pay the rent.
And they hadn't performed together in a long time. So that was his date in 87. Also, we're going to move on to 2005. Back, we talked about a little Hulk Hogan. We also have some wrestling.
Honoring the wrestler, tonight's show very suddenly and very sadly became a tribute show for Eddie Guerrero. Guerrero is one of the WWE's biggest stars. He arrived in Minneapolis late last night for tonight's taping of SmackDown. His body was discovered around 7:30 this morning at the Marriott Hotel in downtown Minneapolis. The cause of death is unknown at this time.
Eddie Guerrero was one of the more popular, as she said, WWF wrestlers. And I don't know if they were WWE by then or not, 2005. But he was found dead here in Minneapolis.
Remember that.
He was only 38 years old. Eddie Guerrero.
Very sad.
They had a weird storyline. It was probably 2004, maybe just before that. It's kind of when I stopped watching, where it was him and Rey Mysterio. And they said that Eddie Guerrero was actually Rey Mysterio's sons, I think Dominic's, that Eddie Guerrero was actually his father and not Rey Mysterio Jr.
Wow.
And it was a weird thing. They had a ladder match to decide who actually had custody of the kid, and it was really kind of close to home. The poor kid. Just for ratings, of course.
Right.
As you know. And then 1 year ago,
in the small university town of Moscow, Idaho, a massacre of four college students in the middle of the night, so horrific, the coroner is still processing what she saw.
They'll be looking under fingernails. They'll be doing all sorts of...
This is what happened a year ago. It's the anniversary, 1 year anniversary, of the Idaho University students who were murdered in their home in Moscow, Idaho.
Terrible.
It took them like 7 weeks to find the suspect, 28-year-old Brian Koberger. And they still have not gone to trial yet. because a couple of months ago he waived his right to a speedy trial, delayed what was supposed to be an October trial. New trial date, according to what I found, has not been set. They have some DNA evidence, but really everything up to this point for him to have actually done it is circumstantial. So we'll see where that goes, but that was brutal. I remember that happening for Idaho University students this date, 2022. So that was just a year ago. Going to move on to birthdays now.
Well, there's an anti-aircraft gunfire going into the sky. However, we have not yet heard the sound of bombs landing, but there's tremendous lightning in the sky.
Peter Arnett trying to catch his breath. Why? Well, because they're being bombed in Baghdad back in 1991 when the Allies and it was Operation Desert Shield and then Operation Desert Storm when they started lighting up the sky over Baghdad. He and others were embedded basically downtown there. I mean, Bernard Shaw was there. There was another guy from CNN that was there. And Peter Arnett, but he wasn't the Scud stud.
I was going to say, yeah.
That was Arthur Kent.
Yes.
Have you seen Peter Arnett's hair and his hairline at the time? I don't know. Maybe he's gotten transplants since. But he doesn't have the hair of being the Scud stud.
Scud stud, okay.
That was Arthur Kent.
Right.
Go look at Arthur Kent's hair and then look at Peter Arnett's hair.
There's a difference?
And there's a difference, okay. Yes. Peter Arnett, formerly of CNN, Baghdad reporting fame. He's 89.
Six queens. Read 'em and weep.
Not so fast. Seven queens.
Three, gumbas. We're shutting you down, you filthy Italians. Ah, right. Filthy Italian Americans.
I am not so much disappointed as I am blinded with rage.
Fat Tony, the voice of Fat Tony, is the actor Joe Mantegna, who you may remember also from Criminal Minds.
Yes.
Plays Agent David Rossi, but he was the voice of Fat Tony on The Simpsons. Every town needs a mafia boss, and Springfield is no different.
Right.
Okay, Joe Mantegna is 76.
Good morning. An hour ago, I resigned as state's attorney of Cook County. I did this with a heavy heart and a deep commitment to fight these scurrilous charges. I want to be clear, I have never abused my office.
That is from the debut episode of The Good Wife, very popular show.
Mm-hmm.
People love The Good Wife, and he was married to The Good Wife. He was the bad husband.
Aha.
We're talking about Chris Noth. He was also Mr. Big from Sex and the City.
Right.
He is 69. Whoopi.
Don't you hear him?
I don't believe this. Hey, you. Hey, you. My name is Sam Wheat. Hey, can you hear me? Sam Wheat. Say my name. Say it.
Leave me alone.
Say my name. Say it. Sam Wheat. Say it.
Oh,
my name. Sam Wheat. Say it.
Talk to me, Automate. Say something. Sam Wheat.
She said it. She said his name. She was Oda Mae Brown there on Ghost. She could hear one dead person at least,
mm-hmm.
And that was Sam Wheat. And I believe that's where Destiny Child, or was it Beyonce, they got the... that's where they got the inspiration for their song, Say My Name, Say My Name, was from that scene from Ghost.
I didn't know that.
Did you know that? Now you do here on the...
Exactly.
Some 80s hair metal here from the group Aldo Nova. So I grew up thinking that was the name of the band, but that's actually the guy's name. Aldo Nova.
Mm-hmm.
Nova means no go in Spanish. Aldo means something else. That was the name of one of the Planet of the Apes apes. Remember, there was Aldo?
Mm-hmm.
He was the leader of the gorillas. Aldo Nova here today is, he was born in 56. You were born in 58. How old are you?
He'll be 67.
He's 67 then, yeah. Jimmy Kimmel.
We don't have any more time left. We got to go to the Fox. Fox, will you treat us to a Ziggy Soggy before we leave?
Ziggy zaggy, ziggy zaggy, hoi, hoi, hoi. Ziggy zaggy, ziggy zaggy,
hoi, hoi, hoi. You ever done a ziggy zagga, Neil?
Many times.
Yeah! And now it's time for a
break. Good night, everybody. Now, girls jumping on trampolines.
That's how they finish the man show, Neil.
Not a bad idea.
No. So Jimmy Kimmel, a lot of people, a lot of experts say that's when Jimmy Kimmel was actually funny.
Correct.
When he was on The Man Show, Jimmy Kimmel. He's got The Late Night Show now. He's 56. We got Gerard Butler.
Well, who's in charge?
Trumbull. Are there any survivors with you?
Negative, sir. They wiped us out. They have commander's room in the hallways with enough explosives to take out an army.
Not enough explosives to take out Banning.
Yeah, what's that from?
Olympus Has Fallen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
yes.
where the
Olympus
White House, fallen, and he's in yes. there. He's the only one in there. He's the only
right.
hope to save the White House and the president, and basically to save freedom itself.
And I think he did.
And he did. Yeah. Gerard Butler, 54 today.
Gone, but not forgotten. Let's see. Where should we start today? Let's start with Robert Louis Stevenson. Do you remember reading anything from him as a child?
No.
Or as an adult? Well, he had the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, of course.
I waited for the movie.
Treasure Island. Robert Louis Stevenson, 1850. Linda Christian, she was technically the first Bond girl, not from the movie, but the TV adaptation of Casino Royale. And this was 1954. She was an actress, did a fine job, 1923. Richard Mulligan, remember him from Soap, Empty Nest, and of course, a wonderful episode, a literally wonderful episode of Gunsmoke, because mm-hmm. he was the name of the little boy that was his friend was Wonder.
I would go into the very special episode that he also did for Little House on the Prairie, but we just don't have time.
All right, Gravers, out! Gravers, I know you have to go. You have not been out since last night. You have an extraordinary bladder. I like that in a dog. I like that in me. But please.
Bladder jokes, never a bad thing.
No, not enough of them.
80s and 90s sitcoms.
Was that Soap?
No, that was Empty Nest.
Empty Nest, okay. Empty Nest. I only watch Gunsmoke, and so I wasn't familiar with Empty. I've right. heard of it, but I don't
There's
really
a lot
know
of
the
evidence.
Premise. Yeah. 1932. Gary Marshall, one of our most talented, producer, director, actors. He was an amazing guy. 1934.
Look, Jimmy, I want you to manage one of the new girls' baseball teams. Don't look so stunned. Face it. You're still a name. You step out of the dugout before every game. You wave your little hat in the air. You give the people a thrill.
Well, we'll just get an organ grinder. I can hop around and do a little dance.
If your knees are up to it, go ahead.
He was Mr. Harvey. Harvey Bars. He
if
ran the...
Knees are up
if your
it.
Knees are up to it. Tom Hanks was great in that role yeah. as Jimmy Dugan.
Yep. And the great baseball movie that it was. Excuse me. He also, I mean, Happy Days, Murphy Brown, yeah. Mork and Mindy, Laverne and Shirley, and the movies, too many to mention, including that one. So a great job by Gary Marshall. What was
Penny
that?
Marshall's
a league,
brother,
a league
too.
Of their own, yeah. Dak, that was 1934. One more, Dak Rambo. He was in, a couple of fine soap operas.
So he was Penny Marshall's brother.
Right.
But I believe he's also maybe the adopted stepdad of Squiggy.
Oh, in the in Laverne and Shirley.
Very possible, okay. yeah.
A time that we wouldn't have needed, by the way, if you hadn't let Jack slip through your fingers.
Well, he didn't have much of a choice, J.R.
Uh-oh, the third brother's back.
Oh, that's not a sight for sore eyes. I never thought I'd see you again. Neither did I. The way Bobby was talking, it sounded like you were off in the woods someplace licking your wounds and was never coming back to civilization. J.R.
That's all right, Bobby. No, I guess I have been feeling pretty sorry for myself.
Can I fix you a drink?
Yeah, Scotch Rock sounds good.
Scotch on the Rocks fixed everything.
It really did
when
in Dallas.
When it came to the Ewings.
Yeah, right.
And the South Fork Ranch. That's all it took.
Deep. Just scotch with some ice.
So you had Dak, you had Bobby, you had J.R. So Skip Ewing. Skip was the fourth brother. There were four Ewing brothers, right. So singer Skip Ewing was indeed the fourth Ewing brother.
What about Patrick? Now we can't forget about Patrick Ewing.
Yes.
Dak Rambo played that role. What's that?
No, I'm just saying he didn't have a... There wasn't a resemblance, there is with Skip Ewing.
That is true, too. Dak Rambo, 1941. They're all gone, but not forgotten.
This is Bobathon, No Repeat Workday Start Time. Brooks and Dunn, Neon Moon, Burn Me Down, Marty Stewart, mm-hmm. or Alabama, She and I. Not She and Me, She and I.
We hope to have some news about Marty Stewart very soon coming.
Good news, I hope.
I think it's going to be. And so let's start with Marty this
morning. What's it
going
to be? He's going to finally wear a hat?
No.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDB.